Part 2. A Sundered Vow. Chapter 8. Tolan Sendek prided himself on his orderly mind and his controlled, regimented will. It was a point of honor for him to be logical and intent in his service to the 14th Legion and to the Emperor. He eschewed irrationality and the incautious nature that some of his brethren embraced. Rahl had often made fun of him about it, joking that Sendek took the word stoic to new extremes. But he thought of his dead comrade now, and wondered what Pyre would have made of the look on his face, the purely emotional surprise that gripped him. It had taken only a moment to bring him to this state. The rogue Thunderhawk, the signal from Eidolon, the incredible command to terminate the fleeing vessel, and the ranking Astartes officer aboard it. Sendek shook his head, trying to fight off the confusion. Had Decius been correct? Was it a test? Some bizarre sort of battle drill to assess the mettle of the Eisenstein's command crew? Or could it be true that Saul Tarvitz had indeed turned renegade and was fit only for execution? If it was possible for an imperial governor like Vardus Prahl to go against the Emperor, then perhaps an Astartes might do the same. Captain Garrow gripped a Vox microphone in his hand and was speaking urgently into it, his knuckles white around the device.
Saul, what in the name of the Emperor is going on? Are those fighters trying to shoot you down?
Sendek flashed a look at the Eisenstein's hololith. The answer to Garrow's question was self-evident, as the frigate's sensors showed flickers of beamfire dashing from the flight of ravens, snapping at the Thunderhawk's stern. As he watched, the raptor-like interceptors adopted an attack posture. They were lining up to make a final strike. He heard Garrow shout into the Vox, demanding some explanation, any explanation.
"Be quick, Saul! They almost have you!"
Tarvitz's next words made Sendek's guts knot.
"This is treachery!"
bellowed the captain of the Emperor's children, desperation filling his voice.
"All of this! We are betrayed! The fleet is going to bombard the planet's surface with virus bombs!"
At once, everyone on the bridge in earshot of the Vox speaker was shocked rigid.
"What? No!"
said Vought, shaking her head. Officers at other deck stations looked up from the command pit in disbelief.
"Oh, that cannot be,"
began the shipmaster, taking a wary step forward. Decius's face was tense.
"He's mistaken. Our brothers are down there."
Their voices overlapped one another in loud profusion, and Sendek heard only snatches of Garrow's conversation with Tarvitz.
"On my life, I swear I do not lie to you,"
cried the captain. Sendek's commander sagged as if the weight of the man's claim was pressing down on him. He caught Tarvitz's final, frustrated words.
"Every Astartes on Istvan III is going to die!"
He looked back at the hololith. Tarvitz's life was measured only in ticks of the clock. The Thunderhawk was wallowing badly, bleeding fuel as the ravens moved in for the kill. Captain Garrow shoved himself away from the Vox alcove and stormed across the bridge.
"Weapons!"
he shouted.
"I want last cannon command this very second."
Vought's fingers danced over her console.
"Close quarters batteries are active, sir," she reported. "Cogitators are computing a firing solution."
The woman blinked.
"Sir, are you going to shoot him down?"
"Give me manual control."
Garrow waved her away from the panel.
"If anyone is to pull this trigger, it will be me."
The battle captain gripped the side of the pulpit and then stabbed at an activation rune.
"Firing,"
reported one of the toneless servitors. On the Eisenstein's dorsal hull, a cluster of high-energy laser cannons swiveled and shifted in unison, tracking to face the Thunderhawk and the Ravens. The guns discharged silently through the void, for a single instant filling the dark with a storm of flickering energy. Spears of collimated coherent light reached out and found their target, tearing through armored hull metal, ceramite and plastic. Fusion cores detonated in a flashing cascade, a thick cloud of radioactive debris riding out in a perfect sphere behind a wall of electromagnetic radiation. Sendek's eyes narrowed as light flared in through the bridge's viewing slits, and the hololith bloomed with a sudden globe of crackling, impenetrable static. The Astartes looked to Garrow as his captain stepped down from Vought's console and limped back to Mars's station at the Voxhide.
He killed him?
Tollan's voice was barely audible.
Blood's oath. He killed Tarvitz.
Decius eyed him, conflict visible on his face.
Those were the orders. Those were Eidolon's orders,
Sendek snapped, his usual calm disintegrating.
You see that eagle carved upon the captain's vambris? Tarvitz has one just like it. Haker told me of it. Garrow and Tarvitz are honor brothers. He wouldn't just murder him in cold blood.
But if Tarvitz had turned...
The battle captain gave the communications officer Mass a hard shove and pushed him out of the Voxhide. Garrow bent to allow his armored form into the alcove and yanked the sound curtain across the entrance with a savage swipe of his hand, cutting himself off from the bridge. Sendek heard Vought's question to Kariah.
What is he doing in there?
Reporting back to Eidolon, suggested the shipmaster.
The Astartes leaned down, almost with his face in the edges of the hololith cube. Flickering storms of energy and colour made it impossible to read. The power of the explosion out there reflecting off the planet's upper atmosphere would fog the ship's sensors for several minutes.
Tollan, began Decius, whatever bond the battle captain had with Tarvitz, that cannot rise above the duty of the service. Eidolon is a Lord Commander. He outranks Garrow.
No.
Sendek shook his head, working the controls on the hololith's projector podium, spooling back the time index record.
I refuse to accept he would do such a thing. You know him as well as I do, Solon. Straight Arrow Garrow, the men call him. He is an archetype for the nobility of the Legiones Astartes. Can you ever imagine our commander agreeing to slay a battle brother on the whim of one of the Emperor's children?
Then what happened out there?
Demanded Decius.
You saw the Thunderhawk explode.
I saw an explosion, countered Sendek.
He toyed with the controls and then let the hololith run the brief engagement again in slow motion. Indicators showed the Eisenstein turn and fire, the bolts sweep towards the other craft, and then the stormy aftermath. The Astartes nodded slowly.
He didn't target the Thunderhawk at all.
The shots must have struck the lead Raven. The other interceptors were in close formation. The detonation would have caught them all in the shockwave.
Then where is Tarvitz?
Sendek pointed at the deck.
He was close to Isfan III's atmosphere. I'll warrant he's using the sensor disruption to slip away.
Decius glanced around to be sure that the rest of the frigate crew were not aware of what they were discussing.
So, Tarvitz escapes and five pilots are killed in his stead?
They were only crew serfs, not Astartes. I doubt Eidolon will weep over their loss.
Sendek looked across to the Voxhide.
He's not talking to the Andronius in there, he said with grim certainty.
If you are correct, then we have just witnessed our commanding officer disobey a direct order from his superior. That is dereliction of duty, grounds for severe chastisement at the very least.
Decius frowned.
You know I have no love for Fulgrim's fops, but if the War Master learns of this... it will taint all of us, the entire Death Guard.
Sendek grimaced.
How can you be so quick to set your colours?
Our captain would never act without conscience. If he has done this thing, then there is no doubt in my mind that he has a credible motive. Will you not at least learn what that is before you begin lamenting for your reputation?
Decius's eyes flashed.
Very well, brother. I shall ask him. Now.
Before Sendek could stop him, Decius rounded the hololith and strode quickly to the Voxhide and grabbed the sound-deadening drape. As he wrenched it back, both Astartes heard the battle captain speaking into the Vox.
Luck of Terror be with you, he said.
Only Static answered him. Garrow looked up from his crouch by the communications pulpit and met their gazes. The hollow, broken look upon his face cut Decius to the very core. Even when he had seen the captain in his healing trance after falling on Istvan Extremis, he had not seemed so empty and ill as he did at this moment. Lord, he asked, what is it?
The storm is coming, Solon, the battle captain said in a dead voice.
It took great effort for Garrow to propel himself out of the Voxhide, as Tarvitz's revelations churned in his mind, sapping the will and strength from his muscles like some strange malaise. The things he had said, the import of them was staggering. He took heavy steps away, ignoring the loaded stares of the Eisenstein's crew and the visible distrust radiating from Mars as the comms officer made for his alcove once again. Garrow threw a command at Mars over his shoulder.
Contact Andronius. Tell them that the Rogue was destroyed and the explosion claimed their pursuit ships as well. No survivors.
Is that what really happened? Asked Decius accusingly.
Tarvitz brought us a warning. You heard what he said on the Vox.
Lord, all I heard was some wild shouting about betrayal and virus bombs. On that alone you have gone against orders? Sendek and his brethren moved to the rear of the compartment, instinctively keeping their voices pitched low.
If Tarvitz spoke of it, then it was no falsehood, insisted Garrow softly.
Decius sneered.
With respect, Captain, I did not know the man, and I do not hold that hearsay is enough to let a direct command be ignored.
Garrow's temper came back in a hot rush, and he grabbed Decius by the gorget and pulled him off balance.
I do know Saul Tarvitz, you whelp, and his word is worth 1,000 of Eidolon's.
He thrust his vambrace up before Decius's face.
You see this? The etching there? That mark is all the guarantee I need. When you have fought for as long as I have, you will learn that some things transcend even the commands of your masters.
Furious, he released the other warrior, and his fists tightened. Sendek's face was pale with shock.
If what he said was true, if there are ships in the fleet preparing to drop blight warheads on the planet, it would mean the wholesale slaughter of thousands of our kinsmen.
He shook his head.
Oath's sake, there's no need to sacrifice men to wipe out the Coral City. Why would Horus allow such a thing to happen? It makes no sense.
Exactly, said Decius, recovering his composure. What possible reason could the War Master have for doing this?
Garrow opened his mouth to speak, to actually say the words aloud to his battle brothers for the very first time, and found that he could not. The sheer horror of it, the ripping, echoing void inside his thoughts stopped him dead.
Betrayal.
He couldn't make the word, couldn't force it from his throat. That Horus himself, great Horus, the beautiful and magnificent War Master, had done this. The idea of it made him go weak. And with that realization there came another. If Horus had prepared this treachery, then he had not done it alone. It was too big, too monumental an endeavor even for the War Master to have managed by himself. Yes, Horus's brothers would be a part of it too. Angron, ever ready to take any path that led him to more bloodshed. Fulgrim, convinced of his own superiority and perfection over all. And the Death Lord himself, in secret conspiracy with the War Master.
Mortarion.
Garrow saw those hard amber eyes once again, remembered the questions and the intent of his Primarch.
It is important for my brother Horus to have unity across the entirety of the Astartes.
He had said those words. We must have singular purpose, or we will falter. Was this duplicity the purpose Mortarion had alluded to? Garrow turned away, pressing the heel of his palm to his forehead, fighting down the conflict inside him. He saw a frantic, shuddering figure come rushing in through the iris hatch of the bridge, face tight with fear.
Caleb?
The housecarl bowed shakily.
My lord, you must come quickly. Brother Voyen and I, in the ship's gunnery racks, we discovered...
He struggled, sucking in gasping breaths of air.
Grulgor and his men are loading the main guns, loading them with life-eater globes.
Virus bombs, said Sendek in a cold, distant voice.
High lord, I saw it with my own eyes.
Garrow pressed down the turmoil within and drew himself up.
Show me.
Voyen looked on aghast. With each new sphere that emerged on the back of the loader crews, he felt his horror plunge deeper. As a trained apothecary, it was his duty to be knowledgeable in the patterns and pathologies of many types of biological warfare agents, and the Life Eater was known to him. He wished it was not. He flashed on a moment of memory, a day during his advanced training with the Magos Biologis, when the mentors had given live demonstrations on condemned criminals of the effects of various toxins upon unprotected flesh. He had seen the damage a single droplet of the voracious virus could do, watching it eat into a screaming heretic from behind impenetrable armor glass. Out there, in those globes, there were gallons of the thick green transmitter medium, every cupful swarming with countless trillions of the killer microbes. He estimated that the war shots aboard the Eisenstein alone would be enough to wipe out a large city. Commander Grulgor walked carefully among the loaders and his own men, showing no fear, directing the arming process personally. He was taking responsibility for it, Voyen realized, doing it himself to put his own stamp of perverse pride on the deed. He turned as soft footfalls across the maintenance gantry caught his attention. Garrow, his face like thunder, arrived with Sendek in tow and Caleb panting at the rear. The battle captain spoke without preamble.
Is it true?
It is,
Voyen pointed.
Look there. The sigil on the spheres is unmistakable. It is the Rotbane, lord, a weapon even the Emperor is loath to use.
He shook his head.
Why has Grulgor done this? What madness has possessed him?
Garrow's eyes were hard and flinty.
It is not madness, brother. It is treason.
No,
insisted Voyen, desperately trying to rationalize the situation, as he had been since he sent Caleb running.
Perhaps if I spoke to Grulgor, I could discern the truth. I could approach him as a lodge brother. He would listen.
The captain shook his head.
He will not. Mark me. This will end only one way.
Garrow stood up, coming out of the shadows of the gantry, and walked slowly and deliberately down the ramp to the main level of the loading bay. He ducked beneath the hanging lip of a blast hatch and called out,
Ignatius Grulgor, come here and explain yourself.
The captain's voice boomed off the tall, wide corridor above the gun carriages. Voyen and the others followed warily, and the apothecary saw Grulgor's expression stiffen at the new arrivals.
Garrow, he sneered, it would be best for you to take your men, turn about and leave. What occurs here is not of your concern.
All around him, the workgangers and the Astartes from the second company became still. Garrow's hand was on the hilt of Libertas.
That will not happen.
Grulgor nodded, a smile of amusement on his lips. It was clear he'd expected no less.
Answer me, commanded Garrow.
In the Emperor's name, you will answer me.
The commander's face twisted in a grimace.
The Emperor,
he said in a mocking tone.
Where is he now? What coin does his name carry in this moment?
Blasphemer, spat Caleb beneath his breath.
Why should we answer to him? Grelgor snarled. He abandoned us. When we needed him the most, he cut away, left us behind out here, and fled back to your precious terror. What has he done since that day, eh?
The commander spread his hands, taking in his men.
He has sold off our birthright to a council of fools and politicians, taken civilians who have never known hardships or the kiss of war, and made them lords and lawmakers in our stead. The Emperor, he has no authority over us.
Voyen blinked back his surprise at such a raw, seditious pronouncement, and gasped when he heard a chorus of angry assent among the men of the second.
Only the War Master and the Death Lord can command us, Grelgor continued. What we do here, we do by the will of Horus and Mortarion.
Garu advanced menacingly, and with his thumb he flicked the hilt of Libertas so that a length of the blade emerged from its scabbard.
You and your men will stand down and quit this insanity.
Grelgor chuckled.
You are three Astartes and a housecarl. I have my entire command squad and a handful of naval crew.
The odds do not favor you. I have right on my side, Garrow said, and this will be the last time I ask you.
The commander studied the battle captain.
Very well, then. Go ahead.
He tipped back his head and showed his bare throat.
Kill me, if you will.
When Garrow wavered, Grelgor's rough laugh cut through the tense air.
You can't. I can see it in your eyes. The thought that you might have to take the life of another Astartes, it horrifies you.
He looked away.
You're as crippled in spirit as you are in the flesh. That is why you fail to see, Garrow. Beneath that rigid exterior, you are weak. You are too afraid to do what must be done.
Garrow's mailed fingers were clasped around the sword's hilt, but it seemed cemented in the scabbard, unwilling to be drawn. Curse Grelgor, but Garrow knew that on some level the braggart was right. For a brief instant, the words of the Yorgul Psyche were there in his mind again, pressing at his will.
Death Guard, so confident in your rightness, so afraid to see the crack in your spirit.
He gasped, and Grelgor saw the hesitation. Suddenly the commander was tearing the stubby frame of a bolt pistol from his belt and shouting. Garrow saw it coming up, and Libertas leapt into his hand, the metal flashing. Time skipped, and there was gunfire in the chamber, shouts and the crashing of metal on metal.
Check your fire!
Grelgor bellowed, drawing a battle knife with his free hand. Garrow was aware of Voyen and Sendek slipping away into battle stances, and he saw Caleb duck out of the line of fire. He thought of Decius up on the bridge where he had left him. The youth's close combat skills would have been a useful asset had he been here. Grelgor had not lied. The odds were indeed stacked against them, but the clutter of machinery and equipment across the gunnery decks and the presence of the volatile warhead globes made it awkward for his men to move in and engage. On a level battlefield, the fight would already have been over. Not here. Garrow surged forward and advanced at the commander, but two of his men blocked his path, each armed with heavy combat hammers. He moved swiftly, parrying a blow from the left with the sword and striking out to the right with a punch that staggered the second opponent. Garrow spun in place and used Libertas to cleave the haft of one hammer and send the owner falling backward with a sword gouge down the torso of his armor. Following through, Garrow struck the second man again, this time with the heavy pommel of the blade. The Astartes dropped, his face a red ruin of smashed bones. This was not the first time Nathaniel had shed the blood of his battle brothers in combat. On many occasions he had fought to a standstill against live opponents in the practice cages. But those incidents were always under controlled circumstances, and never with fatal intent. Inwardly, he cursed Grolgor for forcing him into this situation. Off to the edges of his sight, he saw Voyen and Sendek had their own battles to fight. Garrow sensed another aggressor coming to his rear and shifted just as a fractal-edged steel knife blade scraped at his shoulder. Reacting without conscious thought, the battle captain reversed his grip on Libertas and thrust it backwards under his armpit. The sword ran through his attacker, and he turned to draw it back out. Garrow's heart tightened in his chest as he watched his kill fall away to the deck plates with a crash. A death guard was dead, and it was by his hand. The scrum of crewmen swarmed over Caleb, kicking and punching him to the floor. Not one of them had the courage or stupidity to take on an Astartes, and so en masse they had sought the next best target. The housecarl railed at them for taking Grolgor's side over Garrow's, but he wasted his breath. The swabs saw only which captain had the greater numbers and gave their loyalty to him. Caleb fought as well as he could, but it was wild and mad, clothes and skin tearing, hair ripping away. He felt sharp-nailed fingers rend his tunic and snatch at his neck. His collar pulled tight against him, and he felt a surge of anger. Caleb headbutted his attacker and swore, finding new rage to fuel him.
"Emperor, curse you filthy whoresons!"
A blocky metal shape rose up before him and clubbed his temple. Caleb shook off the blow and grabbed at it. He smelt the odor of gun oil. It was a stub pistol. The housecarl shoved against the men trying to hold him and snatched at the small weapon. It went off with a spitting crack of sound and someone screamed. Caleb rolled free of the mob and came up still gripping the hot metal ingot. His fingers easily found the trigger and grip, and he blasted the next man to come at him through the eye. The gun was his salvation, a gift from his divinity.
"The god Emperor protects," he snarled. "I am his servant and his subject."
He staggered away, breathing hard. Caleb blinked and saw a figure before him in the marble white and green trim of a Death Guard captain. The Astartes was aiming a bolt pistol into the melee with great care. Instinctively, the housecarl looked to see who the target was. Garrow was oblivious to the imminent kill shot, grimly fighting hand to hand with another warrior.
"No, he cannot die."
The thought burned like fire across the serf's mind.
"I will not permit it. The god Emperor has chosen him."
Caleb raised the tiny gun and spoke a prayer aloud.
"Divine One, guide my hand."
He fired. The shot was released an instant before Grolgor's finger tightened on his trigger. The stub bullet from the handgun was of such small gauge that all it did was nick the metal of the bolt pistol where it struck the frame. But even that was enough to deflect the commander's aim. The bolt shell from Grolgor's pistol went wide, keening off a girder near Garrow's head and arcing away in a ricochet. Grolgor reacted with preternatural speed and turned, throwing his battle knife at the housecarl. The Astarte's blade buried itself in Caleb's chest, the impact throwing him down to collide with one of the gunnery bay's control lecterns. It all happened in an instant, barely a second from the report of the stub gun. Blood filled Caleb's mouth, his throat and his lungs as a new sound crossed the room. A brittle, fierce noise, eggs breaking, ice cracking, glass shattering. Through his fogged vision, Caleb saw a thin line of dark haze issuing from one of the warhead spheres, hissing with virulent potency.
"The globe!"
shouted Voyen, kicking away from the thick of the fight. Grolgor's deflected bolt round struck a glancing hit, webbing the frangible glass ball with a spreading fan of fractures.
"Get away!"
he yanked at Sendek's arm, pulling him backward. Black gas was forming into a slow, malevolent haze, buzzing like a swarm of gnats. Workgangers close to the mist were already vomiting and clawing at their exposed skin. In moments, it would fill the width of the gunnery chamber. Garrow's line of sight swept the room, and he found Caleb staring fixedly at him, pink froth leaking from his lips.
"Lord!"
he cried, blood bubbling in his throat.
"You are of purpose! The god Emperor wills it!"
The housecarl lurched up onto the control lectern, wheezing.
"His hand lies upon all of us! The Emperor protects!"
Garrow reached out a hand in a warding gesture as Caleb threw himself forward, using the last of his strength to press down on an emergency release switch. Sirens blared, and in the steel ceiling overhead, huge cogwheels disengaged, letting walls of thick iron drop down towards seal wells in the deck. Garrow flung himself under the falling blade of metal, landing hard and rolling out to where Voyan and Sendek were crouched in the next compartment. One of Grilgor's men, the warrior named Mokir, threw himself after Garrow, clutching at his heels. Mokir landed short, with only his upper body across the well. The iron wall slammed shut across him, the massive guillotine severing the body of the Astartes with a sickening crunch of bone and ceramite. Garrow's heart hammered against the inside of his ribcage, matching the pounding of fists from the inside of the thick gate. A phantom ache hummed through his augmetic leg.
"Blast shields," gasped Sendek.
He swallowed hard. Voyen nodded.
"He saved our lives. The hatch is proof against the Bane. The little man gave himself up to save us and the ship."
The banging on the metal doors grew softer and softer until finally it ceased altogether. Garrow got to his feet and crossed to the shield, placing his palm against it. It felt blood-warm, probably from the virulent chemical reactions of the rot taking place inside. He tried to block out thoughts of the carnage contained in there, the bodies bursting with liquefied organs and organic decay. He tried, and he failed. Caleb's words echoed in his mind. It was clear now that the voice that had spoken to him of the Emperor and Divinity through the fog of his healing coma must have been Caleb's. And now the loyal servant had given his life in trade for his master's.
"I am of purpose," Garrow mumbled. "What purpose?"
"Sir?" Sendek came to him, calling out to be heard over the hooting roar of the klaxons.
"What did you say?"
He turned away from the shield.
"Purge that compartment. Tell Kariah to vent the air in there to space. The life-eater reaction will spread to every one of the container spheres and release the entire warload. But it can't exist without an atmosphere. I want it off this ship."
Voyen nodded.
"And the bodies in there, Captain? They will be decaying and..."
"Leave them,"
he snapped, fighting off the dark mood settling upon him.
"We must move swiftly, unless we wish to join them in death."
Garrow frowned and slammed Libertas back into its sheath.
"The die has been cast."
Like the Endurance, the Eisenstein had her own observatorium on the dorsal hull, situated just forward of the frigate's command tower. It was nowhere near as large, however, and with the broad and tall figures of several Astartes crammed into it, the open chamber seemed smaller still. Decius's face set in a grimace as the hatch opened and another two Death Guard entered. The apothecary Voyen stepped into the chamber with Sendek at his side, and the expression upon both of their faces was enough to give him pause. Decius looked across to where Sergeant Haker was standing with men from his squad, and he saw that old Anders shared the black disposition of the new arrivals.
"Merrick, what is going on?" demanded the veteran. "I'm suddenly ordered to drop everything and come up here. Tell no one, and I hear distant sirens and snatches of scuttlebutt from the swabs about gunfire and explosions."
"There were no explosions," said Sendek grimly.
"Where is the captain?"
asked Decius.
"He'll be here in a moment," Voyen replied. "He's gone to fetch some others."
Decius wasn't content with another evasive answer.
"When I was on the bridge, there was a fire alert from the gunnery decks. An entire compartment amidships was sealed off. That's four weapon carriages disabled, according to the control servitor. Then I hear you on the Vox shouting for an emergency decompression down there."
He pointed at the apothecary.
"First the lodges, then Tarvitz, and now this. I want an explanation."
"The captain will give it to you,"
the other man retorted.
"Saul Tarvitz,"
Haker broke in.
"What about him? The last I heard, he was on the Andronius."
"By now, he'll be in the Coral City if he didn't burn up on the way down,"
Sendek said grimly.
He broke protocol, stole a Thunderhawk and made for the surface of Istvan III. Lord Commander Eidolon ordered that he was to be shot down.
Haker's disbelief was palpable.
That's ludicrous. You must be mistaken.
Decius shook his head.
We were all there. We heard the order, but Garrow disobeyed it. He let Tarvitz escape.
The younger Astartes was still smarting over what had taken place, his loyalties pulling him in different directions over his commander's actions.
It is sedition.
Yes, it is.
Garrow's voice issued from the hatch as he entered, with Shipmaster Kariah and the deck officer Vort following behind. The woman closed the seal behind them at Garrow's nod, and it was only then that Decius noticed the housecarl wasn't with them. The battle captain moved into the centre of the room and placed a folded cloth packet on the observatorium's control dais. He took in all of them with a heavy, calculating stare. Decius had the impression that Garrow was reticent to move on, to say the words that were pressing at his lips. Eventually he sighed and nodded to himself, as if he had made a choice.
"When we leave this room, we will be rebels," he began. "The guns of our brothers will be turned against us. I will call upon you to do questionable things, but there is no other path now. There is no choice. We alone may be the only souls capable of carrying the warning."
"What warning is this, Lord?"
one of Haker's men asked, scowling deeply. Garrow looked at Decius.
"A warning of sedition."
Kariah cleared his throat. Unlike his second-in-command, the shipmaster did not seem ill at ease being outnumbered by so many Death Guard in so close a proximity.
"Honored battle captain, with all due respect, this is my ship, and I will have you explain what has gone on aboard her before we go any further."
"Indeed. As is right," nodded Garrow.
He looked down at his mailed hands and took a deep breath. In a solemn, metered voice, Decius's mentor relayed the events of his confrontation with Grolgor. Shock took hold as he spoke of the virus bombs, turning into a grim, loaded silence as Garrow went on to convey the commander's declaration against the Emperor and the horrifying result of the melee on the gunnery decks. Decius felt his head swim with the import of these things. It was as if the floor was turning to mud beneath his boots, dragging him down into disarray and confusion. Vort was pale as paper.
"The Life Eater. It will not spread."
Sendek shook his head.
"It was contained in time. The viral strain burns out very quickly."
"I would recommend the compartment not be open for the next 6 hours," added Voyen, "to be certain. The war load will have dissipated harmlessly into space after the atmosphere vents were opened, but dormant clades might linger in the bodies of the dead."
"Our own men!"
Haker shook his head.
"I can barely believe it. I knew Grolgor was a braggart and a glory seeker, but this... why would he do something so outrageous?"
The veteran looked to Garrow, an almost naive imploring in his eyes.
"My lord?"
Garrow wanted to explain Grolgor's actions away. Like Voyen, some secret part of him had hoped that perhaps this was all some strange dream, or a temporary madness that had taken hold of his rival. But the moment he had looked Ignatius in the eye, he had known it was not so. Grolgor would never ally himself to a cause if he thought it might have a risk of failure. The certainty, the complete assurance on the other Death Guard's face, that sealed the truth of it for Garrow. Grolgor was the proof of Tarvis's warning, the damning reality snapping hard into place like a magazine into the breech of a bolter. All the small things, the little asides and the moments of doubt, the dark feeling of ominous import, the mood aboard Endurance and the vengeful spirit, every element that had troubled Nathaniel these past days turned in place and became a part of the same whole.
"Saul Tarvitz, my honour brother and friend, brought me a forewarning. In risk to his own life, he fled the ships of the Emperor's children to the planet below, in order to tell our kinsmen down there that a viral attack is imminent. For this, Eidolon attempted to have him killed before he could succeed.
Garrow nodded again.
I chose not to follow that command. As a result, Saul is on Istvan III as we speak, doubtless rallying men of the Legiones Astartes to find cover before the attack begins. My faith in what he told me is ironclad, as strong to me as my bond is to you.
He extended a hand and tapped Haker on the shoulder, then began to walk around the room. Garrow met the gaze of each person there as he did so, impressing his own truth upon them.
Here is the horrific truth. Grolgor and Eidolon are not two errant souls pursuing some personal agenda, but soldiers in a war of betrayal that is about to unfold. What they have done is not of their own volition, but under the orders of the War Master himself.
He ignored the scattering of gasps that the statement brought forth.
Horus, with the support of Angron, Fulgrim, and, though it sickens me to say it, our master, Mortarion, has done this.
Across the chamber, Kariah almost collapsed into an observation chair. He was struggling to make sense of Garrow's words. Vought stood beside him, her face twisted as if she were ready to be physically ill.
Why?
Asked the shipmaster.
Terra, take me if I can see the logic and truth in all this. But why would he do it? What would Horus have to gain by turning against the Emperor?
Everything,
muttered Decius. Voyan's head bobbed in a rueful nod.
There has been talk of the War Master at second and third hand in the lodges. Talk of how far away the Emperor is, and of discontent over the commands of the Council of Terra. The tone of things has been strained ever since Horus was injured at Davin, after he returned from his healing.
The very tip of treason's blade, glimpsed in hidden places, said Sendek.
Garrow pressed on.
Horus personally chose all the units for the assault on the Coral City. He picked only the men he knew would not turn if he called them to his banner. The bombing will rid him of the only obstacle to open insurrection.
If this is so, demanded Decius, then why are we not down there as well?
Your staunch loyalty to the Emperor and Terra is hardly a secret, sir.
Garrow gave a cold smile and tapped on the thigh plate of his armor.
If the war singer on Istvan Extremis had not forced this piece of pig iron on me, I have no doubt we would be alongside Temeter and his troops, unaware that a sword is poised at our necks. But the turn of events has played in our favor, and we must seize our opportunity.
Tarvis's escape will not remain undiscovered forever, said Vought. When the War Master learns of what you did, Eisenstein will be under the guns of the entire fleet.
I have no doubt of that, Garrow agreed. We have a few hours at most.
What do you propose? Asked Sendek. This frigate is only one ship. We cannot hope to assist the ground forces by intercepting the bombardments or attempting to engage the War Master.
Garrow shook his head.
If Saul succeeds, we'll have no need to stop the bombing. If not...
He swallowed hard.
There is nothing we can do to help those men.
Decius saw it first.
You plan to flee?
What's your tone? Snapped Haker.
Decius ignored the veteran.
You want us to run?
We have no choice. If we remain, we will perish. But if we can get this ship out of the system, there is a chance we can still stem the tide of this treachery. We must finish the mission that Saul Tarvitz began. We must carry the warning of this perfidy to Terra and the Emperor.
He looked at the dark-skinned man.
Master Kariah, can the Eisenstein make space for the Sol system, or, at the very least, a star close to the Imperial core?
He shook his head slowly.
On any other day, I would say it could, but today I cannot be certain.
The warp has become increasingly clouded in recent weeks, full of storms and turbulence,
Vought broke in.
Interstellar travel has become very difficult. If we attempted to translate now, our navigators would be virtually sightless.
But you could still make the jump,
Haker noted.
We could still get away, even if we went into the warp blind.
Kariah snorted. The ship would be cast to the etheric currents. We could find ourselves light years off the charts, anywhere.
Anywhere but here, said Garrow with finality. I want preparations made. Barrick, Russell.
He fixed them with a hard eye, using their given names for the first time.
Will you resist me on this?
The two naval officers exchanged glances, and he saw that they were with him.
No, said the shipmaster. Many of my men are faithful Terrans, and they won't falter. But there are some who will balk. I imagine I have men who follow Horus among my crew.
There's also the matter of Grolgor's other Astartes on board, added Sendek. They will be asking questions very soon.
Garrow looked to Haker.
Haker, take what you need and secure the ship. Apply whatever force is required. Understood?
There was a moment of silence as the reality of Garrow's command became clear. Then the veteran saluted.
Aye, Lord.
Garrow bent over the control dais and unwrapped the cloth bundle he had brought with him. In it were a dozen thin slips of paper, dense with writing, in a quick, forceful hand. The battle captain handed one to everybody in the observatorium, including Kariah and Vought. The woman frowned at the piece of parchment.
What is this?
An oath of moment, said Decius. We will swear our duty upon it.
Garrow opened his mouth to speak, but the clang of the hatch stilled his tongue. The communications officer blundered headlong into the observatorium and skidded to a halt, mouth agape at the clandestine meeting he'd interrupted.
Mass! Bellowed Kariah. For terror's sake, man, knock before you enter.
Your pardon, sir,
puffed the vox operator.
But this priority signal came in for Commander Grulgor's eyes only. He doesn't answer.
Kariah snatched a data slate from him and paled as he scanned it. He read aloud.
It's from Typhon on the Terminus Est. Message reads, Weapons free. Bombardment to commence imminently. Permission granted to terminate any and all impediments to operation.
All eyes turned to Garrow. The subtext of the message was clear. Typhon was handing Grulgor the authority to kill Garrow and his men. He held up the paper.
The oath, then, he rumbled,
pausing to take a breath.
Do you accept your role in this? Will you dedicate yourself to the safe carriage of the warning to Terror, no matter what forces arranged against us? Do you pledge to do honor to the 14th Legion and the Emperor?
The captain drew Libertas and held the sword point down. Haker was the first to place his hand upon the blade.
By this matter and this weapon I so swear.
One by one the Astartes followed suit, with Decius the last. Then Kariah and Vought gave the vow as well, as Mass looked on wide-eyed. As they filed from the chamber, Decius caught his commander's arm.
Fine words, he said. But who was there to act as witness to them?
Garrow pointed out at the stars.
The Emperor.